You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to another Kind of Funny live reaction. This time to WandaVision episode 6. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Nick Scarpino.
Hello.
Greg Miller.
Hey.
Andy Cortez.
Hi.
And Kevin Coelho. How you guys doing?
Let's all say at the same time.
At once. Three, wonderful. Two, one.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful
is good.
Great.
Wanda's
great.
It's great.
I'm good at puns.
There you go. There you go. Thanks to all of your support and your interest. We are also going to be putting these up as a podcast on the old screencast feed. So go check that out. With that comes ads. Greg put up explanation video over on twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids. Go check it out. He's wearing the same jersey he's wearing in this. Everything will be explained there.
I wear this now.
It's good. It's really good. It's really good. But Greg, let's start with you. What'd you think about this week's WandaVision?
Come the fuck on. Like, I feel like a broken record, not only on this show, but on Twitter. Every time it ends, and there's just that, like, God damn, are we so fucking lucky to be alive right now and watching this show? And just to see it continue to, and we didn't have a long conversation on these shows about this leading to it of, like, oh, man, episodic versus just dumping the whole season. But I know in the past, I've always been very pro dumping the entire season. I think this is such a masterstroke of not doing it, and it is that, like, delayed gratification where I want to know what happens next, but I also love having this conversation. I love that we're all on the same page about it. I love all the theories and things going around about it. Like, I'm glad that we're not just getting to plow through them, especially it's, you know, such a nice light at the end of the tunnel every Thursday when I'm like, oh fuck, tomorrow, right? And it's like going to bed on Christmas Eve. You're like, oh man, I hope I get to bed quicker so I can wake up sooner.
Hell yeah. Andy.
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. I feel like I'm getting kind of worried that as we start to peel back more and see exactly what's happening, I'm not going to feel satisfied with what's happening. Towards the end of the episode, when the wall starts expanding, I'm just kind of like, I see what they're going for, but I don't think I'm loving the direction of it.
What?
But I still liked it, but I still didn't love it. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's kind of iffy on it.
Kev.
I really liked it, but I kind of get where Andy's coming from, where there's a little bit of like, I don't know if this is the right move. I get that, like, they had, with the amount of episodes we have left and how much story there is to tell, I feel like they needed to do kind of a reset to get us back in the bubble and have everyone in there. Because, like, we're getting to the point where Darcy and Jimmy are breaking off to like fight fucking people and start making things happen. So now that they're in the bubble again, we're going to, I think, get a solid episode where things are going to be, you know, just bubble stuff. So that I have hope. I have hope with like how exciting everything has been. And for the most part, thought the episode was really cool. A little bit like I wanted more, but also Malcolm in the Middle intro. Come on.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that was pretty special. I mean, this episode, I'm always a sucker for the Halloween episode, FYI, and I love that this is the Halloween episode, and they knocked out the costumes.
Really?
And everything.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, I love it, dude. I love this. Like, it's so funny because in the household, Dee does not like seasonal episodes. Actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. She likes seasonal episodes. She will not watch an episode of something if it's not the season it was intended to be in.
Oh.
So if it's a Christmas episode, she's like, and it's like we're watching it in February, she's like, no, I won't do that.
Save it.
I would watch a show that's only Halloween episodes. Yeah. If that was the show, that's why I'm so drawn to things like X-Files and stuff like that. Anyway, I like this. I mean, I think the actor they brought in, that's Quicksilver, brings such a fun energy to this. And it's such a nice, like, wall-breaking character to have in it. I really like this episode. I'm cooling a little bit on the stuff that's happening outside the Hex because I just feel like that team, like, we feel like there's a lot of, like, weird antagonistic energy happening over there, and I kind of feel like the writers, I can feel the writers behind that going, like, we have to have some conflict out there. But to me, I don't need that. I wish they were just, you know, a solidified group, because the insurmountable thing that's happening in the Hex, I think, is way more interesting to me. But I think the Paul Bettany's performance in this one, and the Vision character in general, literally being like, literally and figuratively being torn apart as he's trying to get out of the Hex, was so rad. And I'm just like, I disagree with Greg 100%. I want the next fucking episode right now. Give it to me. Stop screwing with me, Disney.
No, too bad,
I would marathon this whole thing in a day.
No.
I mean, I would marathon the whole thing in a day, but that would be the other thing where I don't think we would appreciate it as much. It would be a blur, right? Right. And we wouldn't have these discussions because you wouldn't be on these cliffhangers.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, no. I'd be
done immediately with it. We would have stopped talking about it 2 months ago.
You know, yeah, I mean, exactly. And I think like that, you know, to, you know, Andy and Kevin being a bit more lukewarm on the episode, and maybe not even that much, but, you know, not enjoying it as much as others. Like, I'm so all about it right now of like where Monica is going to go meet a guy on the hill. Who is she going to go meet? The Quicksilver was asking a lot of specific questions that made it seem like he was an operative. If he's who would have sent him in there? Whatever. Could it be the X-Men? Are we building an Avengers versus X-Men? Probably not. But it'd be awesome if we were, right? Like, there's just so much fucking cool shit happening in there. And then have Vision floating around, being the Vision, like trying to actually do superhero stuff and figuring out what's going on, going through and breaking down and getting sucked back in. I think, you know, with Darcy on the inside of the bubble now, that'll be the big thing, that Vision busts her out and then she starts talking and they start working from the inside out to unravel it.
Tim.
Yeah, man. Going into this one, I thought I was going to be more where Andy's at, but they once again, they totally got me, man. Because I was like thinking about the structure of the show, all the theories, all the stuff. I'm deep into that stuff, obviously. I always am with this, you know. And I was looking at it. I'm like, this episode has to be the slowest of the series, because after coming every single week's just been building. What are they possibly going to do? How are they going to end this? Where I can't wait for next week. And it expanding is exactly that. But it's not just that for me, because throughout this episode there was so much given to us to that changes theories that people had going into it, that kind of confirm some things, deconfirm others. And I loved that the kids got powers. I love all the meta like references to like comic characters. I love the comic accurate costumes, obviously, in the Halloween, so even good. For the kids, Speed and Wiccan. But there's like subtle little things too. The name Nightmare, the word Nightmare got dropped multiple times in this episode. And there's a character Nightmare that is very important to Wanda and Vision storylines.
Isn't he supposedly the bad guy in the newest Doctor Strange movie? Like, that was the rumor, right?
That's the thing. So it's like them actually saying it in the episode. I'm like, okay, we are starting to get to the end game of what this show is. And, you know, at this point, there's not much left. We know we're going to get some flashback scenes with Mind Zone stuff and them in Strucker's, like, little... you know, holding cell or whatever.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
We also got a kick-ass.
What's in the trailers?
We saw the trailers. I've been blacking out on those.
Kick-ass.
But yeah, we got a great kick-ass reference, which for those that don't know, both Aaron Taylor Johnson and Evan Peters were both in kick-ass.
My God,
so him saying
kick-ass
is fun. What's really fun is in kick-ass 2, Evan Peters becomes a character named Ass Kicker. So it's just like,
wait, where was the kick-ass reference? I didn't even catch
someone
it.
Someone says kick-ass in it. Someone's like,
Wanda.
Hey, Quicksilver.
Yeah, Quicksilver and
Wanda. Each other.
Yeah.
Okay, not everybody at once. What does he say? They just say that's kick-ass, or they
everybody
talk about
talk
kick-ass?
they basically say
that's kick-ass, yeah. They don't actually say, hey, remember that movie Kick-Ass I was in? Okay. It's not a direct
but
reference.
There's a moment afterwards where I think Wanda or maybe Peter is like, kick-ass.
It was very ham-fisted. It was not
very,
like
very ham-fisted. It's stupid that you missed it, honestly.
It's on purpose. I want to. You know what? A lot of people say that I'm a moron and that I should die. And I'm glad to see you're on that side, Kevin.
I said it multiple times.
The
bigger cardinal sin is that they made no reference to Nick Cage in this episode at all. And for that, I give this 0 stars out of 5.
Damn. Unfortunately.
Damn. How now mighty you're falling. I will say, now we're from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by me. Undies. I love me undies. I've been talking about them forever and for good reason. They are some of the softest undies. They are the softest undies I have ever worn. And on top of that, they are most of my favorite apparel in general. I am wearing the socks, lounge pants, undies, and shirts always. I'm Tim Geddes. It's what I do. I like being soft and I like having soft things on my body. And me undies helps me do that every single day of my life. And with a whole bunch of fun prints. Right now, I got some dinosaurs. Who doesn't want some T-Rex down there? I know I do, and I do that, and it's great. There's fun prints you can get, whether it's licensed stuff like Star Wars or just crazy things like pizza. It could be there. Or if you're not the bold adventurous type, you can just get classic colors. There's black, there's white, there's blue, there's all the colors. You can go to MeUndies and check out all the different things. There's definitely a design that speaks to you. I absolutely love them, and you will love them too. And if you don't, guess what? There is an entire problem-free philosophy where if you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning to get 15% off your first order and free shipping. Next up, shout out to Keeps. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they're 35. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness. There are only 2 FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss, and Keeps offers both. Nick and Andy have been going through these issues for a long time, and they decided to do something about it and not to be a part of these statistics. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your house. It's low cost. Treatment started just $10 a month, and Keeps offers generic versions, discreet packaging, and proven results. Prevention is key. Treatments can start 4 to 6 months can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/morning to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/morning to get your first month free. keeps.com/morning, keeps.com/morning. I will say I'm with Nick in that the outside stuff is starting to wear a bit thin, but it seems to be over because now it's enveloped in the thing, which is cool. But there's a whole lot of hacking, and it's like you always can tell it's like they don't really know what they need characters to do when people just start.
I gotta get through this firewall's taking me a lot of time. Go, huh?
Yeah, it's like, all right, cool, whatever. But everything else, super in, super loving it. I love at this point, like, to call it dark is like not even enough. Like, what's going on in Vision's head is fucked up, and the Agnes stuff too, it's like, that's what's going up on that, man? Like, I love that we're this far, and it's, I'm not asking questions like, what the fuck, I'm mad that I don't know things. I'm asking new questions that other questions I've had before have answered to get us to this point. And like, to me, that's how this type of show should be rolling out, and I'm loving it.
I thought towards the end, once Quicksilver started kind of having more of the heart-to-heart with Wanda, it kind of worried me because I was hoping that they were going to drop the X-Men reference and not necessarily say the X-Men word or mention any of the X-Men, but I was hoping that when he kind of explains where he was and the last things he remembers, I was hoping that it was going to be, my leg was broken, I think. I got shot, though. Like, I was hoping there was going to be more confliction to sort of hint towards the X-Men future. But it was very, very just Pietro from Age of Ultron. Tim Geddes, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I hated the movie and I don't remember it. But when's the last time we saw Evan Peters' Quicksilver? Because when I remember, it was him getting shot. I don't die.
He was in Age of Apocalypse, wasn't he?
Yeah, wasn't he in Age of Apocalypse?
He was in Dark Phoenix.
Oh, you know what? Was he? I guess the last I remember him was him getting his leg broken by Apocalypse, by Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in Dark Phoenix.
And he got sidelined.
He did.
And I remember in the White House,
there's a big like fight or explosion out there, and he's having to save everybody out on the...
That's Apocalypse. Lawn?
Is that Apocalypse?
That's Fuck. Apocalypse. And that, it's the X-Men
They're both
mansion.
So great movies. How can I forget?
Yeah.
I thought the space one was Phoenix. Yes. Isn't that how the Phoenix
Yeah, it's Phoenix. I'm watching the scene right now. He's in space.
I have fucking no recollection of that.
Jesus
I think
God.
Those movies are literally, I just blacked them out. I'm gone.
I'm looking through, there's 232 photos on IMDb for this movie for some fucking reason. And they're just screenshots of the movie. And I can't see Evan Peters in any of these.
Talking about mutants, though, like one thing is like there's obviously the theory of the reverse House of M thing of, you know, the show eventually really ending cool. And her not saying no more mutants, but her saying mutants or some shit like that. And I don't know how much I believe in that. I think a good percent, but the hex expanding definitely makes it think like, oh, shit, this could be causing mutants in some way, shape or form, especially with
Monica.
Them talking about all the.
Like
the x-rays, the radiations and cells and shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that could be pretty interesting.
Right. That is really exciting. And I do want to kind of, you know what? Let's rewind. Okay, everybody.
No.
I don't know.
What I wanted to call out to go along with Nick's point is that I was kind of I'm right there with Nick when it comes to the drama outside of the Hex, and episode for me is more of a I didn't love what happened here, but I hope it takes us to something even cooler, which is everybody being in the Hex. And I think that's a much more interesting idea than whatever was happening outside of that. I'm glad they immediately kind of got to it or found a way to alleviate it, because you could tell that they were sort of stretching as much drama as they could outside of the Hex. And Homeboy, the head of a sword or whatever, I'm just like, I just don't care about him as a villain, really.
Yeah.
And I'm more interested that he's out of the Hex now. I'm sure he's still going to be doing shit, right? It's not like he's out of the episode, but I'm glad that everybody else is in to kind of add a little bit more conflict.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out to Kat Dennings, though, because when the Hex engulfs her, she's like, ah, oh, fudge. Tim Getty's some kind of
fun. Theorizing right here, guys. Do you think that the sword leader guy is the bad guy? There's some shit going on, or is that a red herring that they're just building him up to be this asshole?
I think it's just
a poorly written character, and they just needed to have an antagonist the protagonists, who are Monica and Randall Park.
I think it's set up.
I would like him not to be the bad guy. Same. Like, you know what I mean? And when they started dialing into the firewalls and finding stuff but not finding like the horrible stuff, I like that. And you know, I like the idea of the conversation him and Monica had today. Not the execution so much, and I don't maybe think it was as thought out and it needed to, but I did like that idea of like, you people who've been gone, you know, you still have the gift of optimism. We've been here in the shit. Like, we don't have that. And I was like, oh, I like that. I don't think it washes away the awkwardness that we've had between them or in his motivations and why he's such a stonewall dick. But I did like that idea of it.
I'm in agreement with you. And I think the problem is, right, I'm comparing that guy immediately to the other big leader that we've seen in one of these organizations, is Nick Fury. And just like every time that there would be a point of contention between Nick Fury and one of the Avengers, I think it was better written, and you could see both sides of it, right? You could see where Nick Fury was coming from. You could understand, you felt that Samuel L. Jackson, both because we'd seen him in all those movies and also just because I think the character was a lot more well-rounded, you feel like he's got the experience that when he tells Iron Man, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, you believe him. Whereas this guy, I'm like, I don't care about this character. Just get him out of here. Let's go back to our little core squad so they can solve this problem.
Obstacles in the way. I liked what he was earlier, which was Robert Redford in Civil War.
Winter Soldier.
I like, you know, I think Robert Redford's character was perfect in that. And, you know, it was that sort of red herring, or not red herring character. It was the opposite of that. But
yeah,
where you assume he's just the bad guy, but turns out he's really, really, really bad. Like, he's not just an antagonist.
Bad guy.
This dude's like Hydra, right?
Yeah.
And I sincerely hope that this dude is not going to be the big bad and pulling the strings and shit, because I just don't think he's super compelling anyway.
What? I really hope that this guy's not the big bad. I hope that this is all set up, because like, we know Secret Wars is coming eventually, and for them to like plant the seeds of that would be really cool, especially in a new organization. Like, for it to be the head of the new, like, an organization, I think would be really cool. I don't think they need to hint. All I want is for him to kind of be an asshole, and they're like, it to kind of end with like, oh, he was like doing research on some weird shit and keeping it on some weird file or something. And then later for them to, you know, 3 or 4 shows from now, it to be revealed like, oh, he's this guy, you know?
Got it.
Yeah. We only have a couple episodes left. What are you guys hoping that we see? Greg?
I want to see Quicksilver realize he's an X-Man.
Andy?
1,000%. I want him to at least mention it, or you know, have a flashback of some sort, not like a That's So Raven type thing, but enough to where we as the audience goes, oh, this is even more exciting. Because it's already exciting, the fact that we have Quicksilver from the X-Men movies here. But just kind of a hint that shows that Feige's going, hey, Andy, I got you, bro.
I want to see Wanda's family slowly dissolving in front of her as she like freaks out, Kevin, and tries her hardest to keep them there, and she can't. And like her to just fucking hex explosion out of there, and then it just cuts to black, and that's how it ends. Giant hex explosion. We don't know what the consequences are.
Like the Sopranos, Kevin.
And then we get a conversation of Xavier, just a VO from New Xavier.
New Xavier.
Mutants. New Xavier. They're everywhere. Don't worry, I'm not Stitched. I'm not Stitch or Shaggy. I'm Charles Xavier. Call a spade a spade, a Stitch a Stitch.
I want to see, this will never happen. I want to see at the very end, I want to see Michael Fassbender float his ass in and be like, Wanda, I'm your father. And then it just ends. And she goes, no!
I want super hot Michael Fassbender, extremely ripped, to float down and be like, Wanda, I am 78 years old.
The power of magnetism compels me.
I look like Ian McKellen in 5 years, but right now I look like this.
It's so a good point, weird. Andy. You're making good points. But you know what? We're in the hex world right now. Anything can happen.
You're right. Anything goes.
Anything goes. I got three things that I want to see happen in the next couple episodes. One, I definitely want to see Evan Peters Quicksilver be confirmed to be the X-Men Quicksilver and not be some other stuff. I hope he's not J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man Far From Home type stuff where
that's
it looks
what I'm
like
scared
him,
of.
But it's different. That's and exactly I really what don't want him to be Nightmare or him to be another character. I want him to be fucking Quicksilver. The other thing I want is a proper Quicksilver scene. When he started running around getting the candy in this one, I was like, okay, this is great.
You want the tunes?
This is the first time in this whole show that I was like, your budget's showing because you know what you actually wanted to do here. But then I stopped myself and I'm like, we do have a couple episodes left. And if you're going to do that, that does sound like a season finale or penultimate episode type. Big, put on the headphones, have a fucking scene with some music playing. Be awesome.
Hell yeah.
Nick, what's up?
My only contradiction to that is that I think they nailed it only because it felt like an effect you would see in a 90s sitcom when they, if they had to do
that
effect.
Worked in this
Yeah. So totally. I don't know if they're going to, but then because what I love is that you see that and you're like, oh, that's weird, kind of cringy, but kind of fun. And then you see Vision floating and you're like, that looks like it's straight out of a fucking Avengers movie, which is dope.
Yeah, I mean, the CG there and the CG of Vision breaking down, that's where the budget went.
That was, they were like, we got $1 million, where do we go? Put 90% of it toward that because that's horrifying.
That's a good call.
So I do also just want to shout out because I know like sometimes the comments would be like, I can't believe they didn't mention this. Obviously we mentioned it once, but the Malcolm in the Middle intro, great, like just so good. The song's fantastic, and the way all the scenes were shot to sort of mimic that style with the intro, the camera kind of like pan, the zooms in or whatever, it moves into the shot, so great. And then the just the eeriness of don't go past Ellis Street, and then obviously we see the wall, and that's where he goes. But that whole area of the neighborhood, that does not have the love and care that Wanda put into everything else, and then also just like all the kids everywhere. I'm so glad Evan Peters called it out. It was such a great moment because we're all thinking the same thing. We're like, damn, she really kind of went overboard with the overcorrection here, right? To kind of make Vision not realize how wild this is. There aren't any kids.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even pick up on that. That's right.
Just an insane overcorrection where kids are everywhere this fucking episode. And then, yeah, that dead area outside getting towards the edge of the hex was really creepy, really off-putting and just bizarre. And but also Vision, like, come on, use your little robot brain a little bit. He's walking, he's like,
he's trying, man.
Are these your children? And it's like, Vision, everybody's standing around not doing anything. Like, does this not
extrapolate?
He's why under is the this hex off as well. He's under the hex as well. I think it was wild that we saw her expand the hex. So it's like,
oh yeah,
she's fully in. It seems like she's fully in control. Like someone might be amplifying her powers. I'm very, very excited. This show's fucking great. Greg, you're right.
Yeah.
You know what? I like this show. You're right, Kevin.
You're right.
I'm right. Not Kevin, me.
Before we go, there's two Kevin's things I want. The last thing that I want from this show is I expect Doctor Strange. I want another surprise character. Like, I want to see.
That'd be really cool.
And even if it's a tease, even if we don't actually see him, we just hear him, I want some type of tease at either Professor X or Magneto or Reed Richards that they've been setting up weirdly in the show, talking about all the astronaut stuff and missing astronauts and all that. Could be really cool. You know, they have ties to S.W.O.R.D., so
did Greg call Benedict Cumberbatch? Was it Benjamin?
Yeah.
Cumberbatch, I mean, probably.
I said Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think the funniest thing was that, like, yeah, everybody messes up Cumberbatch. Nobody messes up Benjamin.
This is from, like, three shows ago, Andy. Benedict. Just let it go. All right, we're out here. We're vibing. We're having a show. We're talking.
It's a good episode.
It's jazz.
I want to leave you guys with this. Imagine if the show ends. I don't want this, but imagine if the show ends and it goes out one step further and all the outside the heck stuff is a 2020 sitcom. Whoa. Cut the feed.